This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run studios, kicking off this Friday edition of Talk Sports. John Reed, Cam Black, Draven Fine, intern Ryan pulling double duty. Goes from Ryan to intern Ryan. I'm sorry for the downgrade, Ryan, after giving you 2 hours of mic time.
Right.
Good job filling in this last couple days. Good job by you. Cam, how are you, my friend?
I am laser focused.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Is that the energy?
No time for fun and games today.
You guys do seem serious, man. Cam's come in, not really smiling, laughing, just kind of straight faced. Looks like he's locked in, ready to go.
Okay. Yep.
Series ending tonight, boys, or what?
There are only six fan bases that know what this feels like right now.
Mm-hmm. Even less if they're actually up 3-2.
Yeah, I mean, just what? I guess there's four right now, right? Is that how it works? Four? There are four left? Not that are up 3-2, but
there's eight teams left. Four teams leading.
Six teams
I guess.
Left, right? Because it's six teams. One team got eliminated. The Nuggets. No. The Suns are still playing, but I guess
true. I forgot that already ended. Jeez.
So of the four, we got three teams that have a chance to clinch in their next game.
Mm-hmm.
The Hawks, the Clippers, and then a game seven coming up in Brooklyn. That'll be a fun game seven. The Bucks, I think it's a coin flip right now in terms of the betting line. So going to be a pretty fun game seven. We thought this was going to be the best series of the playoffs when it started. And then, first two games, it didn't look like it. But since then, series has been pretty fun. Last night, the Bucks take care of business at home. We get a game seven. Tonight we got some pretty big game sixes with the Hawks trying to close out at home against the Sixers, knock out the one seed, and the Clippers at home without Kawhi Leonard trying to knock off the one seed Jazz. So Cam's focused. Love to see it. No time for fun and games. Draven, how are you, my friend?
Doing good. Friday. Weekend is here.
Okay.
Big game Sunday. We can't forget about Omaha, John.
I
was about to say, don't get too focused on those Hawks.
Omaha.
We still got a little big game Sunday as well.
Well, that's partly why we need to close out tonight. That way, because, game seven will be Sunday. If not, I don't want to divide my time.
Schedules wouldn't intertwine there, right?
You never know. Like, it could be a 3:30. Like, sometimes
I
put
say.
The game sevens right there.
Let's list it at 8.
It's listed at 8? Okay, that's good at least. I hadn't seen that yet, Cam, because I haven't been focused on game seven. There ain't going to be no game seven. So that's good. But I don't know if my body can handle, 3 hours of Tennessee baseball pressure followed by, a 3-little-hour gap in the Hawks game seven. So let's just go ahead. Let's take care of business on Friday. That way the Vols can take care of business on Sunday. You working tonight, Draven? You off?
I am off.
Oh, what a day for you.
Yes, sir. Ready
gonna
to party.
Going to be able to kick back and cot it up and then hit
yes,
the town.
Sir.
What a beautiful Friday for you.
Absolutely.
So I'm sure you're thriving.
Always.
In a good mood.
You know what? I am. I'm feeling good today.
Let's
feeling
not ruin
good
that.
Today.
Let's not ruin that.
Well,
don't
just don't. Well,
reason,
don't start spitting. Your bad takes at me. We'll get through it.
I don't think I have very many bad takes, to be honest. Like my takes are usually pretty good. Usually pretty consistent. Just me personally. Either way,
not what the streets are saying.
Sometimes people say they're bad takes, and then they learn later that no, actually, John was right. But either way, whether you think they're bad at one point or learn your lesson the hard way, it's fine. But I'm glad you're having a good day. I see you're not taking advantage of National Flip-Flop Day, so we appreciate you for that.
Yeah, no, did not bring out the sandals today. I'm actually going to buy some Birkenstocks. What do you guys think about Birkenstocks, by the way?
Oh, the shoes for women?
Is that true? Did Birkenstocks
I was about to say, I think Birkenstocks made a trend towards the men a little bit, right?
I feel like they've always just been
pretty neutral.
Well, I was going to say bisexual, yeah. I mean, like, just good for...
Is that the best way to say that?
Well, I mean, I'm not talking about the shoe doesn't want to have sex with both genders. I just mean that, or both sexes.
Let's just say gender neutral. Let's just say gender neutral. How about that?
Well, genders are unisex.
Well, no, they sell. They're not unisex. So they sell men's and women's.
Yeah.
You don't buy one shoe
okay.
and both men
yeah,
and women
yeah,
wear.
I guess you're right. I guess you're right. That's
neutral.
Fair.
They make both men's and women's. They're bisexual.
Are they still over like $100? They dropped the price on them?
No, I checked. Because when you say Birkenstocks to me, I think of going back to 2002, 2003. Abercrombie and Fitch.
Those shoes are so ugly,
just
by the way.
Just the cologne hits you, and I think about my Birkenstock clogs.
So
anybody
ugly.
Roughly my age knows what I'm talking about. You're too young for it. You didn't see.
You
got to
admit, looking back at them now, they're ugly.
Oh, they're very ugly.
Yeah, I was about to say they are so ugly. Like,
but I'm telling you, they were very popular. If you didn't have a pair in junior high,
to go
along with your American Eagle. I was an Abercrombie and Fitch guy, but
of course you were.
Oh,
wearing shirts too small for
you. I had to
you.
Google these to make sure I knew what I was talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone had these back in the day. I'm sure, Cam, that, you know, back at where you're from, like the fourth graders probably had them.
Oh, yeah,
too,
no,
the
yeah. It was
graders.
A thing. It was a thing, and I hated them. I was like, what are all these people doing?
So ugly. So ugly.
That was my first realization, I think, that people were sheep. I was just like, why is everybody wearing these shoes? Like, what's going on here?
Looking back on them as I had my Birkenstocks on and my shell necklace.
And a shirt way too tight for you. Come on,
I mean, the shirt was probably too tight. Actually, no, the shirt actually probably wasn't too tight because
Abercrombie & Fitch always ran those tight shirts.
Yeah,
man.
But I would buy them bigger. Like, Abercrombie, I shopped at Abercrombie & Fitch in, like, fifth and sixth grade, which it wasn't meant for me, but I was chubby enough that I could fit into the mediums and larges and be able to rock them off. You know, most people my age were a lot more slender, petite. But either way, the Birkenstocks, yeah, you sent me down a trip down memory lane. Thinking about those clogs and how stinky they got whenever you would wear them barefoot and get sweaty. Wearing them with socks, wearing them with pants. They're both terrible looks.
Look like old man slippers. What about the flip-flop?
And my mom would just yell at me, pick up your feet. Pick up your feet, because I'd just be sliding in
dragging them.
Clunking around in clogs, clogging around. Pick up your feet. And I was like, I can't, Mom. There's no back on them. They don't strap. They're sliding. This is a stupid
Would that
shoe.
Not be kind of annoying?
It was. Yeah, trust me, say. It was.
Coming off all the time.
Yeah.
Getting rocks in your shoes.
And then eventually at school, they put a dress code. You had to have a back on your shoe, and that was the end of the Birkenstock craze.
Oh, wow.
Down in Athens, so. Get you a pair of flip-flops. No, I mean, that's a nice brand. Again.
You've seen the, like, regular flip-flop sandal, whatever. Yeah okay.
I mean,
the newer version.
Super comfortable. For $130, $150. I mean, they got to be good quality.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Could get some sort of off-brand.
What in the world?
I mean, these are only
You're paying $130 for half a shoe?
For, like, just the all-black, like that? What do you think?
Oh, $45 for the all-black, because there's $135 right next to it. Why is that?
I don't know.
Nobody's buying the black ones. That's probably why.
Well, they're black with just a tan sole, like, or a tan, yeah, I guess sole.
Yeah, usually the least popular colors are usually a little cheaper. But that's a lot cheaper.
That's
a lot cheaper, yeah.
Are those kids, the $44 ones, or those, like, those kids, so. I don't know.
I don't think so.
Something's got to be wrong with them.
Yeah, something's up.
But no, I'm with them. Go ahead and get you some. Treat yourself. It's Friday.
Speaking of, how's that? You were talking about shopping for shoes online. How's that process?
Today was a very stressful day for me. We hadn't gotten to me yet.
I was about to say, how are you doing, John?
We hadn't gotten to me yet. I'm so over it. I'm so over it. I don't get caught up in the buying sneakers too often, at least like on drops, because I just realize it's a pretty futile exercise.
Yep.
Trying to get sneakers that go on sale because everyone has bots. You got the Nike vice president's son with a credit card taking advantage of people. So I try not to get them. But every now and then there'll be a pair that I really want. And today there was a pair that I really wanted. There was some light blue, baby blue Yeezys that came out. And I was like, man, it's going to look great with my Titans outfits this fall.
Oh, wow.
Looks good with my jean shorts for my baseball jersey whenever we're winning the Omaha championship and we're doing a parade here. I was like, I want these. So I spent all morning trying to be in line for them. They just kept selling out immediately. And I was like, how are they sold out? They just went on sale. I don't understand. I felt it was a similar feeling to what they did to Tennessee fans for the Super Regional.
Tickets, yeah.
Yeah. Except at least they didn't make me stay on the phone. Although I will say, like, having six different windows pulled up on six different websites refreshing was a pretty annoying thing as well. But at least I didn't have to hear a busy tone nonstop. Or getting a call fail sign. So at least I had that going for me.
I think online might be more frustrating, man. Especially when you say that go out of sale. Like, as soon as you click almost checkout, you get to the checkout button, and it's like,
nope. I didn't even get to the checkout, except on one website. I was like, they had me in line waiting. And then they're like, all right, you're next in line. We're redirecting you to a website. I was like, all right, cool. And then they're like, boom, size 9.5. I was like, oh, I can't fit in size 9.5. Or can I? Because sometimes I 10s feel good, and then every now and then I'm like, okay, maybe 9.5 would work. Like, I had to squeeze in work boots that were 9.5 on the farm. They were fine, so like, can I do that? But by the time I actually hit add to cart, they're like, sorry, sold out. I was like, well, I thought I was next in line. What happened here? I snoozed and lost, but I'm okay. I had a friend come through that got some, that sold me some for just slightly above what he paid. Or he actually said he'd take retail, but I gave him a little tip just for...
Kind of have to.
Yeah, because he sold them to me. He said he didn't really want them. Just wanted the points. That's the other thing on the Adidas app. They just, you get these points for buying all these shoes, and people just buy them and then sell them just so they can keep their points. And then apparently, if you have the most points, that's when you get the shoes. So I was fighting an uphill battle all morning. It's just been a rough morning, but I'm focused. Game six, here I am.
Should have just bought some Trae Youngs. You know?
Just don't buy shoes online. That's the main thing. Yeah. Shoes are not meant to be bought online. Clothes, all that.
These don't come in stores. That's the problem.
Well, I get that, but still, that's just the whole process is a pain. Yeah. And also, like you said, they come back, and what if they don't fit? Yeah, it's got to be the most frustrating thing when you order shoes and they don't fit because you got to send them bastards back, and then it's just a whole issue.
Oh, chill. We're a family show.
Forgot.
Weren't you just shopping for shoes online?
I mean, I look at stuff, but I wasn't going to pull the trigger.
At the mall. He's just looking to see what he wants. He's just trying to budge up the price, Cam.
I was just wondering. He was attacking.
He just said he was in a good mood. Why are you trying to do this to him?
I was just making sure.
Here we go.
Not from me. I got your back.
I'm still a little salty. He said Sixers in five, to be honest.
Yeah. And he mocked the Hawks all year, but we don't have to rehash that.
I did not mock the Hawks all year.
And it's just, you know what, I will say, at least you didn't disappear for the summer like Hayden.
Yeah. Cower away.
Yeah.
At least I'm still, yeah.
Oh my God, John, here we go again. We're going to talk about the Hawks like we do every day, and then they're just going to lose in the playoffs, John.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good, Hayden.
Yeah, that's how he sounds.
Oh my God. Here we go, John. Let me guess. Next, you're going to talk about being in the gym. Fire Jeremy Pruitt.
He was right about that one, though. We'll say he was right about that one.
You got to miss the little booger, though.
Booger.
Yeah, I missed a little.
Wherever he is.
What is the sports story of the day, Draven?
I guess Giannis.
Giannis coming through.
Or Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton was the story.
You owe Chris Middleton an apology, too. You've been bashing him all series.
Okay, well, he's been pretty much terrible. I guess he had was a game.
He's been good in every game in Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
I don't know what his numbers were in Brooklyn, but
it's gotta be terrible.
Yeah, the first two they could. Yeah, first game, like game one, right? Didn't he come out like 0-7?
Yeah,
something like that. But he's been good at the games in Milwaukee. Or it was game two he came out 0-7 after Harden had gotten hurt. But yeah, no, they came through in Milwaukee. We got a Kemba Walker trade. He's getting moved on. We got a pretty big head coaching vacancy in the NBA. Yep. We got Omaha coming up. We'll dive into all of that throughout the show. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. All right, game six. I said not to write off the Bucks after Durant's performance in Game 5. Mm-hmm. Said they're not left for dead just yet, and they got off the mat last night. It looked for a little bit like Brooklyn might make a comeback. I believe they got to a 5-point game before Harden kind of shot them out of it.
Yep.
I don't know what the hell was he what he was doing. It was a 5-point game, then I believe the key events were what Middleton drew a foul on a 3-pointer from Joe Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Harden came down and tried to shoot a three and fall, didn't get the call, and then I believe Milwaukee hit another three or got a three-point play at least, and it was an 11-point game, and then next thing you knew, it was an 18-point game, and it was over.
Chris Middleton could not stop drawing fouls. He had 2 4-point plays.
Yep, Middleton was balling in Brooklyn.
He out-hardened Harden.
Yeah, I mean, that's well, Harden sometimes doesn't get fouled. Harden sometimes just falls down and does a thing where he falls down as he's shooting and hoping for a foul call. Usually people would crush him for that. They might give him a pass since he can't really move. He's got to try to get points any way he can. Mm. I thought he shot pretty well at the beginning of the game, but, yeah, just, you know, couldn't get to the rim at the same pace. And you didn't get the big performances from Jeff Green. You didn't get the big performance from Blake Griffin. That was, you know, those guys were both key in game five. But now headed back to game seven, you know, like I said, it's basically a coin flip. That was a big game for the Bucks franchise.
Yep.
Like Budenholzer, his career. Giannis's, I don't want to say legacy because he's got plenty of time to affect his legacy, but his standing in the league.
Yep.
His reputation in the league.
Game 7's going to be huge for his legacy.
Oh, you know, Game 7's going to be like, it kind of sucks, but like, hey, Durant, here you go again, buddy. Like, you don't have to do a 50-point triple-double again, but you still kind of need to win this game. I'm not going to crush Durant if they lose this game because I feel like Milwaukee should win. I feel like Milwaukee's better right now unless Kyrie comes back.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Durant, like that game five doesn't seem as cool if you don't win game seven and win the series.
You don't think so?
I mean, not as
short-handed. Cool. I mean, still dropped, 32 last night and played pretty well.
Oh, yeah. No, I wasn't blaming him last night. 7 turnovers, though. Like, and that was I don't want to, like, just hark on the turnovers, but, like, that was what made Game 5 so special, is that he was, like, you know, distributing and setting up so many of his teammates, you know, making great passes at the rim. And
it's like,
it helps when Jeff Green is shooting lights out, and it helps when
I was going to say, like, it's...
But I was really just looking at the turnovers last night. I mean, seven turnovers and three assists. Like, that's
yeah.
that's not good, especially when Harden's not effective either, really. Seven turnovers, four, like, or four turnovers to seven assists. Like, one of those guys has to be a creator. Durant did it in Game 5. Couldn't really do it last night, and, you know, it kind of hurt the team. No one else really got going because of it.
I feel like all the pressure's on Milwaukee. Mainly Giannis. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was so awesome to see him go 0 for 0 for three-pointers. He was playing his game, knowing what he can do better than them, and not trying to force something. So big. He's got to keep that mentality.
60% from the free throw line, not bad. 6 of 10, hit a couple in the fourth quarter that, you know, helped get the lead back up. We'll see what happens when he goes back to Brooklyn. You know, it's a little bit easier at home. Giannis plays better at home. Giannis has more confidence. And that Bucks crowd hasn't hit the point where they, like, kind of turn on the team. They're still, like, eternally optimistic because they know that they can't really turn on Giannis because, yeah, he signed the Supermax extension, but you're always just, like, one bad playoff series from being like, hey, I want out.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And
so they can't get to that point where they're disgruntled with him. They still have to treat him like Ben Simmons and cheer everything he does. So.
And Milwaukee's a small market team. It's not like they're going to get anything better than Giannis. And
it's like they have Embiid waiting if they run Ben Simmons off.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Like, they have to wrap their arms around him and support him. And he was awesome last night. Like Ryan said, 30 points, 17 rebounds. He's a center. He needs to play like a center. Like, I thought it was good that, you know, Brook Lopez only played 30 minutes last night. You don't have to take him all the way off the field the entire time, but, like, give Giannis center minutes. And
space,
I thought a big key last night was that the Bucks kind of realized that the Brooklyn Nets, especially with Harden limited and Kyrie out, they don't really like to get out and run.
Yeah.
Like, the Nets kind of want to slow things down. So it felt like the first five games, Milwaukee didn't really try to crash the offensive boards. Whereas last night they grabbed 15 and created some second-chance points. Like, that's a pretty big deal for them, like, especially for a team that's, you know, their offense hasn't been great this year in the half court. But, like, if you just look back to Game 5, for example, they had four offensive rebounds because they were so focused on getting back on defense, not letting the Nets get out and run. Last night they realized, oh, wait, they can't do that. So you had guys crashing the boards, being aggressive, and, like I said, grabbing 15 rebounds because, let's face it, Brooklyn doesn't have a big man.
Blake Griffin.
Right. I mean, and Durant, like, that's pretty much it. So if you have Chris Middleton, who's long, if you have Giannis, if you're going to play Brook Lopez, and Drew Holiday's a pretty nice-sized point guard, like, you got to crash the boards. P.J. Tucker, get in there and rebound. Like, don't worry about getting back in transition defense because the Nets are kind of old right now, and they're kind of hobbled. Like, they don't want to get out and run fast break. So I thought that was actually a pretty good adjustment by Budenholzer. Credit where it's due. He's been getting kind of, you know, just destroyed every playoffs for not being able to make adjustments. I thought he made a pretty key one last night, and that helped them get easy chances and easy looks.
Yeah, that was a change of pace to see from Budenholzer.
And, you know, the defense is still good, and, you know, Brooklyn's offense didn't play very well. But, you know, if you're Milwaukee, you feel pretty good. And like I said, it's a coin flip.
Yeah.
Point spread says coin flip, which, you know, Kevin Durant at home had to be historic, legendary, to get the win in Game 5. I mean, I feel like he has to do something similar in Game 7 to win that.
Or at least get a really good compliment from Harden.
Yeah.
And some of the role players.
And I don't know if Harden's going to be able to do that. But, yeah, I mean, like, Harden, I guess, is in a nice spot where, like, hey, you're a postseason choker. Well, yeah, but this time I'm hurt, man. There's not anything I can do.
Yep.
We'll see if Kyrie plays.
Yeah,
is there any reports of that? I mean, there's just no way.
Hop on one leg, dribbling.
I was about to say, I saw the ankle, man. I feel like there's no way.
I didn't see a picture of the ankle. Was it bad?
It was bad. Okay. It was bad.
And plus, like I said, Kyrie doesn't seem like the type of person that will want to prioritize
going all out.
Going all out over his health. And he did just have a baby, right? Like, didn't his fiance or his girlfriend or fiance just have a baby like 3 days ago?
Yeah.
2 days ago?
Yeah, he's not.
So Kyrie might have taken this series off anyways after the birth of his child. Like, he might have just been like, hey, I got to be there.
Yeah.
Family, more important than basketball. I'm a human. You know, pull that whole thing. Yeah. Paternity leave.
Don't you think Giannis is under more pressure than definitely Kevin Durant? I feel like KD had his moment.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that. I mean, Giannis was pretty damn good in Game 6.
He was.
Not the Kevin Durant game. But Milton's under pressure, but Budenholzer are under pressure. But I disagree with your take that, like, they're under all the pressure. I do think Brooklyn has some. just because you have a finite number of years at this core. Like, this is a champ. This team is a championship level team.
The goal for them was to get to the finals.
We could say the same exact thing for the Bucks and their technical three with Middleton, Drew Holiday, and Giannis.
I am saying the same thing about them. Like I said, I think the Bucks are under pressure, but I think it's just a pressure-filled Game 7. I don't think there's any house money here for Brooklyn. Like, they're
like you said, if Brooklyn loses, they have at least a couple of excuses. No Kyrie, you could tell James Harden's not healthy, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
What's the Bucks' excuse? That Giannis can't come up clutch, that Budenholzer, or Middleton?
Why Dante's gone.
Dante and Budenholzer, that's who they'll blame. But I mean, no, like they'll take a self-evaluation, but like it's not like they're gonna be able to like really reshape this roster. Middleton's played good enough to like avoid that, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, barring just some epic collapse in Game 7 where he shoots like 3 for 20, I think he's done enough these games, especially in Milwaukee, where you can look at and say, no, he's good.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Milwaukee is probably gonna win Game 7.
Think so?
Think so too. I mean, unless Harden miraculously can move again and get to the rim, but like this team just doesn't have a point guard. If he can't get to the rim,
is it him not attacking the rim at all? Is that pretty? Is it just kind of him spotting up? Because I didn't get to watch a lot of the game.
He doesn't want
to
explode like that.
Okay, it just doesn't have the same. Okay,
he can't move.
Yeah,
and they're not respecting his driving as much either because like he just. It's just going to be tough for them.
Yeah, and part of what got Harden all his crazy stats is how often he got fouled and went to the line. Yeah, and if you're not driving and not pressing like that.
Well, that's been a big part of his playoff failures in the past was in the playoffs they don't necessarily give you those foul calls. And like he wasn't able to get to the line. I know, you know, people thought that might happen with Trae Young.
Wrong.
And we're worried about that. But he was the similar type of player who, you know, lives at the free throw line. You know, generates a lot of points from there, and Harden hasn't been getting any of those calls in the playoffs the last couple of years, and it kind of hurts, you know, his production.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, talking free throws real quick. How about Harden overreacting to a Giannis with his extremely long?
I didn't even see that.
Giannis mimed the entire free throw motion twice, and Harden like threw up his hands and was like, "Yo," like just upset. Visibly about how long Giannis was taking to land the game.
Why is Giannis doing this? I feel like it's just so much
focus.
I get the whole focus thing, but like, I think it's just easier just take a dribble and just shoot the damn ball instead of overthinking it so much.
Yeah, especially for a guy who's in his own head. Like Ben Simmons, that's what Ben Simmons should do. Just catch and just throw it up there as soon as possible.
Just shoot it.
It's a weird rule because the NBA sometimes calls it, sometimes doesn't. And when they do call it, they wait 13 seconds usually on the clock. So, you know, the Nets have been giving Giannis a hard time about it. It seemed like Harden let the refs affect him last night, and that's kind of been his problem in the playoffs in the past, just being mad about the refs at all times.
Yeah.
Just play, bro.
Yep,
exactly.
Not to be the just play guy, but like, Harden, you need to just play.
Yeah. On that Joe Harris foul, James Harden was trying to convince Steve Nash to challenge it. Not even Joe Harris. Joe Harris had to come in and say, James, chill. Yeah. I fouled him.
Yeah. Harden was, you know, insist. I think Harden's biggest thing to me was that he was calling. He thought it was a one of those that shouldn't be a shooting foul. I think is what Harden wanted to challenge, claiming that, you know, Middleton kind of ripped through or pulled up on it. But, you know, Game 7 will be fun. I do think both teams are under pressure, but I probably agree with Draven's take that Milwaukee's under more. But just when you have Kevin Durant, man, like.
Yeah, that's my thing. It's like you got Harden. And I know Harden's hobbled, but, I mean, Durant's supposed to be arguably the best player in the world. You think he's supposed to get out there and get you a win like that?
Yeah, and this, I mean, it's still a coin flip. It's not like Milwaukee's favored this game. So, I mean, like, both teams have championship aspirations. Milwaukee probably more likely to break up if they lose in some regard. Like, I don't think Steve Nash is getting fired for losing this series. No. But Steve, people will ask if Steve Nash is a coach that can elevate. I'm like, what exactly do you do here, Steve?
And the Nets walked off the court during the game.
I don't mind that.
Yeah, I was about to say, you're not reading into that at all.
Nah, that's a common trope in these series. Like, you don't want to watch the other team celebrate at home. Just go back, get ready for business. And, you know, we've got decades of that. Usually it's a deciding game where somebody gets eliminated and they leave. But
the bad boy Pistons, that's what it always reminds me of. Yep. Isaiah ducking around.
Everyone always talks about the bad boy Pistons, but they don't point out that the Celtics had done that to them a couple years prior.
That's true. Narratives.
Yep. Larry Bird and the Celtics and all those Hall of Famers walked off and didn't shake the Pistons' hands when they eliminated them. So the Pistons kind of paid it forward to the Bulls. And, yeah, then it turned into just Isaiah being a baby and all that. But I'm pumped. I'm glad we get a Game 7. At least we get one. We'll see if we get any others. I hope we get no others. Let's just end it. I'll let the Clippers win. I'd rather have no more Game 7s than risk saying I want another one and it being my team. So no more Game 7s. Let's just let this one be it. Go Clippers, go Hawks. We'll dive into the Kemba Walker news after the break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. It's Friday. That means it is time for Animal Hour over at Hops and Hollers. They got their lunch special going on now till 3 o'clock. You can get $13, get you a lunch and a beer from 3 to 6:30. You got Animal Hours. And now their golf simulator, wide open, open, ready to go, ready for action. Got live music in the beer garden tonight. You tried the golf simulator yet, Cam?
I've dabbled a little bit. It's pretty cool. Yeah, it's a cool setup for sure. Getting a nice air conditioning unit put in there today, so it's going to be nice and nice and cozy in there.
$60 for 90 minutes, as many people as you want. And you can, right now they got set up on Torrey Pines, so you can play along with the pros at the U.S. Open. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's got tons of golf courses. It's got just about anyone you can think of.
If you want to book now, you can hit up Hops on Instagram or go to hopsandhollers.com. Take the boys, the girls, go out there and play some golf on Torrey Pines and drink you some booze, eat you some food, or just, you know, chill out, have you a Coke and golf. Hopsandhollers.com. Draven, you got us a leaderboard update for the U.S. Open?
Sure do. At the top right now, a guy I never heard of, Richard Bland. Not so bland. Sitting at a 4-under, 3-under on the day.
Okay, good for Richard Bland. I, too, have never heard of Richard Bland.
Yeah, pretty hot start here in second day. We got Uzdazen. I can never say his last name. Say it.
Try one more time.
Uzdazen.
Do full name.
Luis Uzdazen.
Uztazen.
Yeah. I know I was saying it wrong. It's a tough name.
Luis Uztazen. I mean, I'm 90%
not a,
sure
not
I'm
a very
right.
notable yeah. player either. So
No, he is.
I mean, I've seen him around, but
he's been
not
at top
a,
of leaderboards lately.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say, he's someone that dabbles in the top 20 from time to time. I don't know when the last time he's won a big one is, but he's a guy you should, a name you'll recognize.
Well, he actually just dropped a shot, went down to 3-under, so he's sitting at third now. Richard Bland, 4-under at the top. We also have Russell Henley, another guy not very familiar with, sitting at 4-under as well, tied for the top.
I don't even see Bland's name to bet on.
Really?
Even still, like on the live odds?
Oh, there it is, plus 5,000.
Wow.
Ooh.
I don't think they think he is going to...
had to scroll a little bit.
But no, I mean, Uztazen won the Open Championship in 2010, mm-hmm. so he does have a major championship, a decade ago.
I was about to say, that was a long time ago.
Finished second at the Masters in 2012, second at the PGA Championship in 17 and 21, so I mean, he's up at the top. Yeah, mm-hmm. I was going to say just
recently.
Yeah, major. So he has a couple of top-level finishes, so he is someone that, you know, can bring this home.
Okay.
I don't believe in Richard Bland, necessarily. Molinari's
well, he just
out.
Dropped a shot as well, so he's at 3-under. So Russell Henley currently sitting at the top by himself at 4-under, which he does has not teed off today. Tees off here in about 30 minutes.
Got a couple of big names, though, at the top or mm-hmm. near the top of the leaderboard. John Rahm, 2-under.
Yep. Francisco.
Favorite.
Tied
Molinari.
For six. He was the favorite coming in. He's still tied for the favorite. What is he at right
he's
now?
A slight favorite over Koepka. He's plus 600. Koepka's plus 650.
Okay, because Koepka's right there at 2-under as well. Xander Schauffele, 2-under. But my guy Rory also hovering around.
Hey.
Tied for 11th.
Come on,
right now,
Rory.
Yeah, good game.
I'm rooting for him, man. I'm rooting for him.
Me too.
He and Patrick Reed. So they're there.
Wait, where's your boy Bryson? Let's see.
He didn't have a good day yesterday. I'm imagining he's not having a good day today.
He's got back to 2-over. He was 4-over earlier.
Okay. So he's what? 2-over right now?
2-over through 7, yep.
All right. So that's inside the cut right now, right? The cut is projected to be 2-over. I believe.
Yeah, with how many people are sitting at plus 2. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's your leaderboard update. Bryson. Come on, bro.
He's too focused on trolling Brooks, man. What's he doing? Gotta throw his hand up. It started to get a little childish, okay?
Yeah, I didn't even see the video of that.
It was kind of silly, man. He just, like, jumped up and threw his hand up like a little kid trying to get a little attention on the camera. Like, come on, man.
Jeez.
He's doing the best he can.
Yeah.
He's doing the best he can.
Why are you such a DeChambeau supporter, man? You know he's a big baby.
He's a nerd.
Oh, boy.
I just like how mad he makes people.
This is not good for you, John.
No, Cameron. It's not good for me. The guy got a broken nose on a...
Yeah.
Giving out a penalty.
The checks are clearing.
Although the penalties haven't really been going well for people at the Euro so far. I believe before the game this morning, there have been five penalties given out and only one goal, I believe is what it was.
Wow.
Dang.
Yeah, wow. It's only 20%.
Man, this guy looks
his nose is leaking. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got an elbow right to it.
Oh, he's going to just
like that's why he's
nail
there.
This then.
He's netting this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for him. Bad for me. With all of his blood in his face. Flexing his muscles. Why are you flexing your arm muscles, bro?
Bro, use
soccer.
Your legs. Do some squats, bro.
Yeah. Pull up the calf muscle. So the big NBA trade news of the day, Kemba Walker out of Boston. Their big free agency signing from a couple years ago. They're paying to get out of it.
Is that the third straight time the Celtics' big free agent ticket they've traded away?
Well, yeah. No, I mean, it would be the third time they like left. But, no, I mean, they didn't get anything for Gordon Hayward or for Al Horford. Those guys just left. So this is the only time they've actually – well, I won't even say they got anything in return. They had to pay a first-round pick to get out of this guy. Although Horford coming back to Boston
– is stupid.
Brad Stevens loves Al Horford. Brad Stevens running things right now in Boston, so he brings him back. That's a veteran presence that, you know, Jason Tatum will respect and Jaylen Brown will respect. That will bring some a calm voice to the locker room. But I don't know how good Al Horford is. But I will say, like, Kemba Walker sucks. I know that.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Brad trying to cover up some of the mess that Danny Ainge created over the last 4 or 5 years there.
See, no, like,
off to a fast start.
Hey, my first like reaction to this is like jumping the gun a little early here. I mean, like, we're not even into the off season yet, and you're already making this trade, which just seems like way too soon. Like,
well, there was something.
Is there not more value for Kemba just a little bit? I mean, come on, some of these cruddy teams who just need somebody to give them a little bit of a spark. Like,
what do you think? I mean, what do you think you would get out of like back? Like, what would be better?
Like,
I mean,
36-year-old center who, in my opinion, is not even going to play. He's probably not even going to hardly play. He's going to be coming off the bench. He's a role player at this point.
He's a guy that's familiar with what they do in Boston. I do think that matters to Boston. Well, if you're Boston.
They're getting a new coach. What's familiar about it? They're literally going to have a new coach.
The locker room with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Because
I'm Jason Tatum. Is this really moving the needle for you?
I mean,
like,
if you like
really?
Al Horford. I mean, if you like Al Horford.
Come on, John. What are you talking about?
In this trade, in the last series, when they lost to the Nets, the big man position was clearly a position of need for the Celtics.
Al Horford's
so
not moving the needle. He's not even a top 10 center.
Brown. I'm not talking Al Horford right now.
Who the hell is Moses Brown?
Okay,
who the hell is that?
He had multiple 20-20 games last year for the Thunder.
Yeah, because the Thunder have nobody else out there, Ryman. They have nobody else.
And the Celtics,
literally.
Hey, the Celtics didn't have anybody else, too. They need somebody to grab the boards because
Robert
Williams is a little tiny.
Robert Williams than whoever the hell. Who? Who? Moses who?
Moses Brown.
Robert Williams is 7 foot. Robert Williams is not tiny. Like, Moses Brown's like cap throwing.
I don't think he's 7 foot.
Robert Williams? I mean, if he's not 7 foot, he's 6'11".
He's listed at 6'11".
I mean, if he's not 6'11", I mean,
he's
not...
He's 6'8", bro.
Robert Williams?
He's 6'8". I knew he was smaller.
Yeah, he jumps out of the roof.
Okay, well...
Either way, it doesn't matter. Moses... What'd you say? Moses Malone? He's not moving the needle for anybody.
You guys seriously never heard of that guy?
No. And
I mean, he's just a... I think he's just a throw-in here. Like,
he is.
It's just if you buy low and he's a cap filler is probably what he actually is, but... If you come in and he can give you anything, I guess it's an added bonus. But I don't think that's what Boston's making this trade for. Boston's making this trade, A, to get out of Kemba's contract. Mm-hmm. You know, he's owed $36 million next year and then has a player option that he would almost assuredly opt into for $37 million the year after that, $37.5 million. You get rid of him. Maybe you bring back Marcus Smart with this extra money.
Yeah.
Maybe you keep him there. Maybe you don't.
What a disaster. This just screams 7 seed in the East again.
Oh,
literally.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. But what I think does matter, and again, Al Horford was pretty good with Oklahoma City last year in times. Like, he showed that he can at least play. Like,
when did he last play? Because I know he sat out the whole second half of the season, right?
They didn't. I guess Al was too proud to do what they did with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, which is actually he was hurt the whole time so they could tank. Al is healthy. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to trade him. So they're like, you know what, Al, just go home. We'll let you go home. Here's a paid vacation. We'll send you away from the team as we try to find you somewhere to go. But, you know, Horford showed last year that he could at least play the five still. when he was a disaster in Philadelphia, it's because they tried to put him at power forward next to Embiid. He needs to be a small ball five. But I don't think he's going to Boston and fixing their problems. I'm not saying that. He might be a bench player. He might be a guy that's there for 20, 24 minutes a game.
Kind of feels like he's going to be like a more of an assistant coach than anything to me, man.
Nah, I think he'll be playing. I think, because they don't have anybody off the bench. I mean, you'd rather have 36-year-old Al Horford than
Grant.
No, I mean, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, like, you'd rather give those minutes to him than Grant, honestly. Like, I mean, I think at this point, especially with Grant's age, like, I don't know how much you look at him and think, okay, we got a lot of untapped potential here. He just kind of is what he is at this point. At least that's how I feel about it. Maybe not. Maybe bring Horford in and try to teach Grant.
But don't you think they could have, like, played this out and saying, like, hey, let's see what we can get from everybody? It was just like, it's almost like, hey, Brad Stevens is like, yeah, me and, was it Sam Presti? We have a pretty good relationship. Let's make this trade. Like, that's what it felt like to me, because that's what the headlines were. It was like, hey, these guys are know each other well. They've communicated before. Like, it just feels rushed, man. Like,
well, I do know there was an August, like, 3rd deadline on this, because after August 3rd, Kemba would get a 15% trade kicker.
That's fine, man. We're still in June.
You see, no, I know. Like, just saying,
at least give it a month to kind of play out.
There was a little bit of a deadline. But, I mean, if you have a deal in place, go ahead and do it and get ready for the draft, I guess, because, I mean, a draft pick gets attached to this. I just don't know what else you would have gotten if you're Boston for Kemba Walker.
You really think his value is that low that you can only get a 36-year-old center who's not even played the whole half a season.
An injury-prone, washed-up guy with a huge contract.
Yeah.
Very low
I mean,
value.
I do think that it was a situation where it was either that or, like, it was either Al Horford or Kristaps Porzingis.
Well, it's like, my thing is, like, if Russell Westbrook can still bounce around and still find a way to a team, I feel like Kemba Walker can,
Russell
too, for a little bit of value.
But Russell Westbrook's still much better than...
And that's fine, but Kemba was an all-third NBA team,
I mean,
two years ago. Like,
know,
we're not,
like,
far from that.
But look at the trade that Russell Westbrook, who, you know, was pretty good, just got traded for. Not the Chris Paul one, but the one last year, I mean, for broken down John Wall. Like, there's just not a lot of value in these guys. Now, maybe Kemba can go somewhere and, you know, kind of revitalize his career like Chris Paul did, and all of a sudden that asset looks, you know, that contract doesn't look as bad. And, oh, wow, there is some value here. But, I mean, I think it's much more likely that Kemba's a guy that is in the John Wall camp of used to be good, breaking down, overpaid, small guard.
If I'm Jason Tatum, I'm literally requesting a trade right now. I'm done. Like, this is what we got. Like, honestly, like, for whatever you want to say about Kemba, that's fine. Maybe it was a fair trade, whatever. But, like, you got to look and be like, man, we're really moving the needle with Al Horford when he's got to go up against Giannis and Embiid, who are the two best teams in the East. Like, they have no chance of competing whatsoever at all, even with Jaylen Brown.
Well, that goes to my original point of just, like, I would imagine Tatum signed off on this, and I'd imagine Stevens knows the relationship that Tatum and Horford have, and you just want a veteran that you like back on the team. And I don't think this will be Boston's only move this offseason.
Yeah, I don't think this was their end-all.
They don't have any assets. They don't have any. What are you going to trade? Marcus Smart, who, in my opinion, doesn't have that much more value than Kemba.
You can flip this Moses kid. He is a 7 foot two.
We're still talking about
listen, real quick, Draven. Listen, real quick. He is 21 years old. He's 7 foot two. He averaged 21 minutes a game, and he had 8.6 points per game and 8.9 rebounds per game. That sounds like somebody that you can grow with, that you can mold, especially with a guy like Horford. And plus, all those stats were better than Tristan Thompson.
Rod, if you're right, like, I'll pat you on the back, man. But, again, that's not moving the needle
it's
either.
It's not moving the needle.
I don't even know his name still. You said it four times, and I still don't know his name.
You're choosing.
Because it's a scrub from Oklahoma City when it's a bunch of scrubs playing on the court. Literally. When you have a bunch of guys who can't play, like, yeah, your stats are going
to
look pretty decent when you only got doing something. That's just how it goes.
And rebound, like, on
exactly.
This guy,
7 foot two.
I mean, this guy might be someone that, you know, slipped under the cracks, slipped under the radars. Is this guy dead? What the hell just happened over here? I've never seen somebody hold up like that.
No, it's just soccer.
Weird.
Intern Ryan buying all the stock in Moses. Who was his last name? Again?
Moses Brown.
Moses Brown. I keep wanting to call him Moses Moody. The guy from Arkansas.
Okay, when I look at the NBA, I like the young people who have potential. I read into potential, and this kid definitely has it. Heck, he proved it because he got a longer commitment. He earned his way through 10-day contracts, and then he signed a 2-year deal.
Sure, sure. I mean, like, we're not saying he can't be a role player.
Exactly. That's all I'm
saying. But, again, what's that doing, though? Like, Moses Brown's not getting
depth.
That team.
Depth. That's all. Helping depth.
Which is not getting you anywhere when you don't have good players to begin with. Like, you got to have good players for depth to actually mean something. You have to have good players from the start. It's just this is a disaster. This is what this is. This is a disaster.
I would imagine that, you know, the only focus right now in Boston is making Jason Tatum happy. So I do think every move made this offseason is going to be with the idea of making Jason Tatum happy and trying to put a team around him, because they do know they're on the clock. Just like what happened in Dallas yesterday. More news coming out from the Mavericks. We'll dive into that next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. If you're Brad Stevens, you want to make Jason Tatum happy. To me, that's what the Al Horford trade comes down to. Now, we'll see what the rest of the offseason is, but...
You know what makes players happy, John?
Winning.
More than anything.
Winning.
There you go.
Yeah. But I mean, like...
You really think Jason Tatum really wanted this?
Well, like, I'm asking you what you think Kemba Walker contributes to winning. Like, I mean...
No, that's fine. Like, get rid of Kemba. I'm not saying that's a bad move.
Who do you think is out there that's going to trade for Kemba Walker now? He can't play, like, back-to-backs.
Neither can Al Horford, man. Like, he's 36.
Well, I know they save money, like, on this, though. Like, they do game cap
flexibility. Well, I hope to God they go get a free agent then. Horford, maybe that's the goal.
Horford is $9 million cheaper this year, and... $23 million cheaper next year if they waive him after a year.
But what are you going to do with the $9 million this year? And it feels like this is the year, like you said.
You might give it to Marcus Smart. I mean, and Marcus Smart is, I think, a guy that, you know, is a little frustrating, but you probably don't want to lose him. And you can take that $9 million and pay him.
They should have got rid of Marcus Smart when they had the chance.
Well, that might be fine, but, like, I don't know what they could have gotten back better than him, but maybe Marcus Smart's just the point guard next year, and then you're trying to start out from there. But again, like, I don't know what you think Kemba Walker is going to bring back. They had to pay a first-round pick with Kemba Walker to get rid of him.
Maybe play it out a month and see if anything else pops up on the table there.
Nobody
big, smart guy, Brad Stevens.
Nobody
like,
wants him. There's only so many teams that are in the situation.
Al Horford, time out, though. Al Horford's not going anywhere. He's still going to be sitting there waiting to get picked up. Mm-hmm. So why not play it out another month and see what happens? Seems rushed to me.
Well,
whatever you guys say, it's rushed.
Well, there is a chance that Oklahoma City looked and said, do this now. Or we're going to send Al Horford to Dallas
Porzingis. Maybe so.
I'd imagine Dallas might be interested in bringing Al Horford in, who can play better team ball around Luka and be cheaper and a less of a contract, and, you know, get a first round pick for that. So I do think there might have been a situation where Oklahoma City said, look, we'll do this with you right now, but we need an answer now. You've done that before in fantasy trades, I'd imagine. Like, hey, let me know what you want. If not, I'm going to ship him to somewhere else, but I'm giving you first option. Mm-hmm. Let me know. So that could have been a part of it. I just don't think there's going to be some magical fix that's coming up to that you're going to be able to actually get a good trade back for Kemba Walker, just because that's how broken he is. Now, you could argue, Draven, if you wanted, would you rather have had Al Horford in a first-round pick or just Kristaps Porzingis? When I say Horford, I mean you gave up a first-round pick, or just kept that first-round pick and drafted 16th or wherever it was,
16.
And then traded for Kristaps Porzingis. You could ask me that if you're trying to win just next year, but of course Porzingis' contract is just as bad as Kemba's.
Don't you think next year's like make or bust? Like, I think if they have another frustrating year, get a 6 or 7 seed in the East again, I think Tatum's done. Like, I think it's over.
Maybe.
Especially when you have Zion over there in New Orleans pushing the needle. You have Luka pushing the needle in Dallas. Like, you have all these guys who are basically like on the doorstep of leaving if they don't start getting things going their way a little bit.
I will say, if I am in Boston, I don't know how much I'm paying attention to Luka and Zion, just because they're heading into year 4 and year 3 and signing big contracts. So, like, those teams maybe aren't up against pressure right now. Like, Dallas isn't worried about Luka leaving now. They're worried about Luka leaving in 2 or 3 years. Like, Zion, his family can say whatever they want. If I'm New Orleans, like, I don't have to trade him. And Zion's not going to publicly come out and say he wants to be traded either. So that might not even really relate to Boston. But, I mean, I do think Boston's on the clock in terms of either Tatum's happiness or the Tatum-Brown, like, combination of can these guys win together? Do these guys fit together, or should we maybe move, you know, Jaylen Brown for a Dame? Do we maybe try to make for a McCollum somewhere around there? You know, some packages, Bill, a Bradley Bill. Now, I will say that, like, if you are trying to make a bigger trade, sending a first round pick with Kemba doesn't make a lot of sense, because that's an asset you could have used.
Exactly.
So maybe they don't have a big plan coming up. But again, I would imagine Brad Stevens knows that this will have a positive effect on Jason Tatum's morale, just because he likes Al Horford. And that was, like, you know, his veteran whenever he was there breaking into the league. Al Horford will come there and set screens for him, whereas Kemba, you know, needs shots.
Okay, so he has 6 picks this year, though.
Now, that's stupid.
3 first-rounders, 3 second-rounders.
They could have 4 first-rounders if the Rockets fall out of the top 5, too, I'm pretty sure, because it's the top 5 protected picks. They could have or maybe a top four protected pick. So if it falls to number five or lower, they can get that pick as well. But at a certain point, like Oklahoma City is just going to have too many draft picks. Like when you draft these guys, you have to give them contracts. So like their whole team is going to be made up of first and second year guys. Well, there's a limit to how many guys you can sign.
They have 18 first round picks through 2027.
And then it'll be you'll be too rich of draft picks that whenever you try to make a trade with somebody, they're going to demand three draft picks back just because you have so many of them. So like you're going to end up overpaying. So
do you think they're hoping with Kemba that it turns into a Chris Paul situation just because he balled out with Oklahoma City, kind of led him to the playoffs, or they just because I mean they're taking on his whole contract, right? Basically,
I think it's possible that
this is a rebuilding team.
But I mean, why get Kemba, who's not part of a rebuild whatsoever? Like,
because you got a draft pick,
and you cleared some roster spot too by trading two guys.
But you're also taking on his cap, which is super expensive.
Now I will say it was dumb. Well, you have to be at a salary floor in the NBA. So them paying Kemba $36 million while they're paying everyone else $3 million is actually good for them because they have to make up that difference regardless. They have to get to like I think 90% of the of like the salary cap. So, like, teams will take on those big contracts, and they might buy him out. Or, you know, Oklahoma City doesn't usually do that because they want assets. But it's really wild that Oklahoma City, who is trying to, you know, find stars, is trading Moses – what's his name again?
Brown.
As they're looking for Moses good young Brown. As they're looking for good young players, it's weird that they would trade Moses
Just
Brown.
Just watch.
As they are a team that wants good young big men. But we'll see how Moses Brown –
He was wanted. He was included like that. In that for a reason. He's not making that much money, so that means somebody wanted him.
You would think it would make sense for Oklahoma City to keep him, but either way.
That's what I thought.
But, you know, maybe Kemba gets completely rerouted now. You know, it's not even guaranteed he plays there next year. Like, there's still a chance that Dallas could look and say, okay, we'll take Kemba instead of Porzingis, and we'll do that. And maybe they end up getting a first-round pick for Dallas for getting rid of Porzingis. Because Oklahoma City has the leverage because, hey, we're not trying to win. Dallas, you are. You're on the clock with Luka. He doesn't like Porzingis. It's pretty well reported that, you know, those two don't get along. Better get rid of him. Give us a first-round pick. Okay, thanks.
From rival countries.
So maybe Oklahoma City comes out of this with Porzingis and two first-round picks. Which, again, if you're Presti, like, maybe you package, like, four picks to try to move up a couple spots this draft, depending on where you are in the lottery.
At least Carson's on Ryan's side about Moses Brown.
Hey.
I'm sure Carson watched a lot of Oklahoma City games.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, Carson.
I'm sure intern Carson watched a lot of Oklahoma City games.
Us interns got to stick together over here.
The last month of the season, 16 points, 4 points, 6 points, 2 points, 6 points, 12, 10, 5. And then against the Clippers when they were playing, you know, their scrubs trying to tank. He did score 24, so good for him.
Hey.
I don't know. I don't know if I see it yet, but we'll see. We'll see. Maybe Boston found a diamond in the rough. Maybe Brad Stevens is playing chess. Hour one in the books. We'll kick off hour two of headlines. We'll dive into some NFL. We'll talk some Omaha. A couple of big game sixes tonight. Stick with us as Talk Sports. It's Fan Run Radio.